Blog Talk Radio.
Seven Wonders of the Universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
I've been away so long. But now, baby, Billy's back home. I've done and seen it all, did it all.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on God's Radio Network. We're coming live from Fortaleza, Brazil. With Billy Paul there, we salute Billy, who was part of the great New Year's Eve festivities here. And special affair, governor stopped in as well as a senator or two. As you know, we always open our show with a prayer. And this John Coltrane, dear Lord, you know, there's just too much to be thankful for as we move toward a new year. Let's start. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Asking that you have your will and work. More importantly, Lord, give us not what we want, but what we need. We need the every hour. Thank you, Lord, for 2012 and now 2015. As we move into the second decade of the 21st century. Thank you, blessings forthcoming. Those have come, will come, all unmerited. Like a lady once said, you're God, all by, still our body, with our family here in Brazil and in the United States. One point, Lord, thank you for dollars from Jews and keeping them not only in Christmas, through Christ in our life at all times. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Just a couple of things that happened today. You were in the land of the football legends, the greatest of them all, Pelé. And tomorrow there will be some football awards to be given out. And the last 2 years, Lionel Messi has been the man picked as the top footballer. And Décio Couto Mastro Jr., the gentleman who is international promoter and impresario extraordinary, who has brought the likes of Billy Paul, Gloria Gaynor, Ziggy Marley, Wayne Braun, Victor Brooks, Kool and the Gang here to Brazil. Hey, hey, goddamn. What's in that? Hot Dog Radio, such a God, this network. Hey, it's a cook. First, the church. He went down. George Foreman, the oldest man to ever win heavyweight championship of the world. Muhammad Ali, the first man to win heavyweight championship of the world 3 times, considered by many unequivocally the greatest of all time. Buddy McGirt, until injured, the best pound-for-pound welterweight in the world at his time. Bernard B. Hop Hopkins, the oldest man ever to win a world championship in any weight class in boxing history, as well as the man who has the most defenses in the history of boxing in the middleweight division. It's on Buddy McGirt, the guy at one time seen as the Sugar Ray Robinson of his era, Roy Jones Jr. I mean, look at the 15th Dr. King's birthday, okay? Boxing-wise, the Bernard Hopkins, the 16th is Roy Jones Jr., the 17th Muhammad Ali, and Buddy McGirt. And prior to that, 12th and 13th, we're talking George Foreman and Joe Frazier, okay? And my beloved mother's is the 21st, which is going to be King Day this year. My grandson is the 25th. My daughter Turquoise is the 2nd, but this is amazing. So we're talking boxing, and Jackie Robinson also has a place in boxing, as his birthday is the 31st. You know, Jackie Robinson was, at one time, the boxing commissioner. Yeah. But before we go into more of the show, let me let the man, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., introduce you into the Sports in Depth Nation, as we do on Blog Talk Radio, another segment of Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, hold on, here he is, the one, Mel, Smith Jr., Mooney, floor is yours.
Doctor, the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God radio network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And talking about incomparable, that's great. You and the rest of this crew come in. Once again, we want to thank you to our first show of the 2013 the year here on Blog Talk Radio, Sports In Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. And you're talking about incomparable, the blessings, just I can't really convey enough, life has so many experiences of feeling just so much better. Here, Fortaleza is the capital city in the state of Ceará. New Year's Eve, it was huge here. A tremendous New Year's Eve show. I was told that outside of Rio de Janeiro, that Fortaleza had the biggest New Year's Eve celebration in all of Brazil. And here was the man who brought us, me and Mrs. Jones. I'm black enough for you. Billy Paul was the lone emerging artist on the show. The governor was there. The mayor was there. Bo Poldenhu. Scub State Senators was there. And it was a special evening, which Billy at one time brought out two guys that were responsible for. They support the Monster and Twin, international promoter. And the governor, they had collaborated and got themselves together for one great show, one great evening in the history of not only Fortaleza and the state of CI, but the music and Brazilian history. This song here is Billy's Back Home. And for Billy Paul fans, good news, of course, him and his deputy, Lady Blanche, ride back in Philadelphia safely, as did the Horde Pop Band. And when you talk about Philly, as this year is just a tremendous month, when you talk about the array of boxing talent that is born in this month, and just heavyweight by itself. I mean, the Buddy McGirt, birthday the 17th, the 15th. As you know, legendary Martin Luther King Jr., which was a holiday implemented and started by the late, great Hal Jackson, who we lost last year at the age of 97. And but the 15th is Bernard Hopkins' birthday, the oldest man ever to win a world championship and the longest reigning middleweight champion in the history of that division in boxing. We look at the other birthdays this month from a pugilistic standpoint of view. You have in this month alone, Rooney, and this month alone, you have, and you name these guys, you really don't have to, I mean, they could take anybody. Joe Frazier, okay, the first man to beat Muhammad Ali, and I like it enough to you, Rooney, amazing about this, is Joe was born in this month. It happened to be the same month of the only two guys to ever beat him. So we've got Joe Frazier born in January, along with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. These are the only two guys, Joe only lost four fights, two to Ali and two to Joe. And then I dovetail on that and told everybody, Jackie Robinson, whose birthday is the last day of this month, was the one time the Boston Commissioner, Rooney, right here in New York City, right there in New York City, as I'm live from Fortaleza, Brazil. Amazing facts, huh?
Oh, yeah, indeed. I've had my dealings with the commission way back then when I believe it was, who was it, John Pinderville, Floyd Patterson, I think Louis Rios were the commissioners then.
Mm-hmm.
When I was getting into pro wrestling, I believe that was the commissioner then. I think it was Jack Pinderville, Louis Rios, and Floyd Patterson, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yes, Floyd Patterson of heavyweight boxing champion fame.
Mm-hmm. Floyd Patterson from out your area there in Brownsville. Patterson was the first man to ever win the heavyweight championship of the world again. And his historical interjection to boxing had already been infused when he won the championship, becoming the youngest man ever to win the heavyweight championship of the world, and not supplanted by that until another Brooklynite, a friend of yours, Mike Tyson, is the youngest man to win the heavyweight championship of the world. Ironically enough, there was not too much of a big sting, as we can say, because Customato was the mentor and trainer of both guys. So in Patterson sort of losing that title, lost it to actually another stablemate, as Mike Tyson is today, and will hold that for as far as the 20th century. The youngest man, Rooney, your friend Mike Tyson, to ever win the heavyweight championship of the world.
Yeah, Mike was the youngest guy to win that title. Up until then, I think Muhammad was the youngest.
No, Patterson was the youngest. Patterson.
Floyd?
Yeah, Floyd. Yeah, Floyd was the youngest. So I'm saying they were both from the same table. Patterson had two outstanding feats in history of boxing. The youngest man in the heavyweight champion of the world, and also the first man ever. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, look at him. So Floyd Patterson defeated Ingemar Johansson. Nobody who had ever lost the heavyweight champion of the world ever got it back. You know, once you lost it, it was gone. I mean, it was just sayonara. So Floyd became the first man ever to win back.
Victor again, the title, I believe.
So then, and then Ali, it wasn't Ali after Patterson, became the first man ever to win it back three times. We've had a host of guys now re-win it in the venue twice, Tim Witherspoon, your good buddy Mike Tyson. But Evander Holyfield to date now is the only guy to ever win the title four times. You know, Evander the real deal. Hey, Rooney, we're talking real quickly about boxing, get back to it. But, you know, we had some good football games today. The thing that always bothers you is when you see a talent like RG3, who evidently has not been 100% for some time. But, I mean, you got to play. I mean, there was no tomorrow. And then but what bothers you is the injury being sort of self-inflicted. I mean, it was a bad snap, which caused the whole. I mean, this is the second time we've seen this in the last, 4 weeks? I mean, sort of some validation at the end of that Jet game with the Titans. The snap to Mark Sanchez wasn't the best of snaps. But, I mean, this here was just, I mean, at this point of the season, let's forget about the crucial timing and how big the game was. But at this point, I mean, you would think that has to be used totally inexcusable, especially when you're snapping the ball to the likes of RG3, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli. I mean, that just has to be really totally inexcusable.
Hey, what can I tell you, Doc? I mean, these things happen. I mean, you figure that so many times that they've, the guy would be able to do the snap, be it short or long, in his sleep. But these things happen in football. That's why they play the game. And that's why they're, upsets happen. I don't know if we want to call the game today an upset, but, these things happen. And, RG3 was obviously not, himself. He's obviously playing, in pain and injury, especially, when they took him out earlier. I got to say one thing about him, though. Like, I hope that he doesn't get hurt to the point where it's career-threatening or the point where he starts to become just a pocket passer. Because if we could ever play the way that we saw him initially, where he was just run at will. I mean, this here's a guy who can throw the ball 60, 70 yards on the fly. He has world-class hurdler speed. And I would hate to see his bright bulb dim even a little because of injury or the hits that he's been taking. Now, obviously, I know they're going to preach to him to protect himself, get rid of the ball, don't try to get every extra inch because of the hits that he's taken throughout the year. But it would be a shame to them, the prospect of his, you know, kind of going in all out. Because I got to tell you, Doc, before he started to get hurt, this guy was changing the quarterback position of football. I mean, sure, you had guys who could run and throw the ball, run, pass, use, you know, get first downs with their legs. But I think that he is on the way to revolutionizing the position. I really do.
No, I'm just here thinking, you're right. I mean, because the thing was him, I mean, you remember the conversation, Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. The Washington Redskins, after finally winning a Monday night game since the 90s, winning a division since anybody can remember, tough break today. RG3 got injured after they had scored 14 quick points, and their season's over. I mean, the Giant players talked about what problems he presented. I mean, you talked about what was said in the locker room, and this was after a game, and this is also said before the next meeting. He's just a very talented guy. But, you know, one asked a question. I don't know if you heard anything. I was hoping to get Steve Wings here. But it's the severity of the injury. And I think it's a situation that it just didn't really have enough time to really come back 100%. A win today would have gave him, a little time. So it was a situation that it was better but not healed. And only the offseason is going to be able to give him the apropos time and sort of medication to once again come back to be 100%, which is definitely, you know, you just hope that the injury doesn't alter anything in his overall makeup and chemistry, because he's a very gifted player. And like you said, the ability to throw the football and then to turn around and run like an Olympian is an amazing feat. And it seems that the club is getting, not to mention, nobody's talking about, they got a heck of, the first time you've had since 1943, him as a rookie quarterback and his running mate leading the league in passing and rushing. I mean, the first time since 1943. So like you said, they get themselves a couple of other key players on both sides of the football. And this is a team that's going to kind of dominate that division for some time to come, Winnie.
Well, if you remember, Doc, I said earlier in some of your previous shows in regard to RG3 that Griffin is the type of guy that if he doesn't suffer in any career-threatening injuries, that he's going to revolutionize the position, Doc. I mean, you have a guy that, I mean, sure, you've had you know, the guy from Philly and you know, others who could beat you with kind of, right, with his arms and his legs, but nobody to the extent. I mean, this guy has world-class speed. He's fearless, and he can beat you with his arm. I mean, so he's just a constant threat to, you know, to beat you in any and every way. The only problem with him is, as you said, that you're going to have to learn to actually kind of get rid of the ball either a little fast or, you know, because he's young, he's unbridled, and he's the type of guy that would try to, obviously he's young and he wants to get every inch, every foot that he can, and he's just going to have to kind of learn as he gets older and wiser that, you know, sometimes I will disregard trying to get every extra yard so that we can be healthy and go through the next play. You know, that's the only thing about him. You know, he's young, a little bit unbridled. He's fearless, and, you know, he'll learn about that as he gets a little bit older and more experienced also. But this kid definitely has star quality and unbelievable skills. No question about that, Doc.
Yeah, and like you said, I think a guy you would look at, we're talking about Michael Vick, talking to Patrick Farrar,
right,
he said, you know, the
difference
between Vic and RG3 is that a great line he said where, you know, he said, Vic is a thrower where RG3 is a passer. And I think the guy that we thought was going involved into what RG3 is was Randall Cunningham. I mean, Cunningham was a multi-talented guy who could throw the football, not the runner in the same vein of speed as RG3, but really a really gifted quarterback, tremendous on for this player. Doc Stanley on Blog Talk Radio, Sports in Depth, Sunday Wrap. The skins are done. And if you caught that game Friday night against the Lakers and the Clippers, tremendous basketball game. Once again, Kobe in the high 30s, almost 40 points, but a stat has been kind of circulating lately that when Kobe scores those many points, for some reason, the Lakers don't win. Clippers look good, though. The bench came through for them. But the word out west, and I think it's erroneously, Rooney, is that the Lakers are done. They're too old, too slow.
Well, Kobe said something about them being old, Doc, that they're a little bit, you know, there is some age on them. You know, the ball is usually in Kobe's hands. Steve Nash, even though he's supposed to be the playmaker part, Lynch, he can guard no one, especially with the guards, you know, the super fast, high jumping, very athletic guards, you know, these days. He can't guard those guys. I mean, those guys will go by him like he's a stop sign. Then again, you know, I just don't know if this team, Doc, is currently constituted can be championship material out there in the West. I mean, you have the all-star caliber center, but he can't hit free throws. So, of course, he's prime picking to foul towards the end of games. You got Kobe, who basically, for the most part, has to have the ball in his hands, because basically no one else can put points on the board the way he can. I mean, the guy's a stone-cold scorer, no question about that. You got Nash, who, you know, is, I guess, has an incomplete so far. He's been hurt, obviously, most of the year, and, you know, certainly defensively is a liability. So it's a lot to be, you know, a lot to be done. And to be, you got Paul Gasol, seems to have be an ill-fitting piece as the team is currently constituted and the way that D'Antoni wants to use them. So it's a lot of question marks on that team, Doc. A lot of talent, but a lot of question marks. You have a metal world piece there, and, you know, some days he's there, some days he's not. So it's a lot of question marks on that.
Let's back up. You know, you hit on a couple of points there, too. I think Sigmund's going to join us here. Are you in here with the Wings?
No, this is the Cisco kid.
Oh, hey, Cisco.
What's up?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Right with us. Nothing much.
Good to hear from you, Cisco. You've been missing an action. Good to have you back.
Yeah.
Nobody let me know. Doc's in Brazil. He forgot about his boys. I understand. It's all right, man.
But we're still in Brazil, and we did send a little feed out. We'll get back to you boxing while I got some boxing things to talk about. And, you know, it's an amazing thing, too, Cisco. New Year's Eve, got a chance to meet the governor here, and I said, hey, look, you know, interestingly, boxing, you know, here's my card, let's talk. I mean, you know, get back to New York, have Western Donkey. And he said something that was so much into what you said, Cisco, was that, MMA. You know, this is the thing that's big here. In fact, I was watching before coming on air the Anderson Silva's last fight, and it's the thing that you spoke about so often, and what Hal confirmed is the way the MMA has just really taken over, and as boxing, Cisco continues to decline, this sport continues to elevate.
Yeah, you know, you gotta. It's just they've been able to see what boxing has been doing to the public for years. I don't know if you saw the first televised fight. I believe it was on ESPN on Friday. Guy from I think it's Afghanistan. His name is I believe it's Usami or something like that. I can't remember his name. He fought a Cuban, Bartholomew, and he lost the decision that he should have won. He was robbed clearly. I mean, it was an uproar afterwards. You could hear Teddy Atlas going off on the on ESPN. He was really going off him because, you know, it was clearly that the Cuban lost the fight. I mean, he fought the first four rounds. He got the first four rounds, but after that, he did nothing for the next, let's say, 7 or 8 rounds. This guy pretty much out-fought him and lost the decision. It comes to show you that even though we have a new year, nothing's new in boxing yet. Nothing's changed in boxing. So MMA is just capitalizing on that, you know?
Sister, one of the advocates of sort of nipping this in the bud, how much, and you too, when you, once you dove on this, how much are you, Cisco, for this scoring the fight round by round? At the end of 2 rounds, you know, a fighter knows where he stands. Are you an advocate of like, hey, let's
scoring,
let
me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, make it obvious. Let a guy know that he's, I mean, as bad as it may be, he's down a round, he's up 2 rounds. But I guess the biggest question, though, is, you know, where do we get the new or the improved officials? I mean, I think a lot of the problems with boxing, from that standpoint of view, gentlemen, is that, you know, you don't have any fresh blood. You don't have any fresh blood. And then the other thing is maybe we need to move the judges from ringside and put them someplace with a better overall view. Cisco?
By the way, I want to say the fighter's name was Arash Usami, and the and the Cuban was Rancis Bartholomew. As far as you know, boxing scoring, I mean, I know you have some officials that are old, but not all of them are old. Steve Weissel, he's not an old guy. I think what's going on here is that if you look, I mean, if you had scoring, I think you should. Actually, you should just take away scoring from the judges if you want to make it a little bit more fair and let the public score a fight, you know, because, if you look at the fight on Friday, the Facebook scoring online had it for Usami, you know, where the judges had it the other way. So, and the truth is that, you know, the world is watching the fight, right? It's not just 3 judges. It's the world. So if you had, like, an open scoring between the public, that would be, one, something new in boxing, and two, it would change the whole aspect of a fight. You know,
that's a novel idea. That's a novel idea, and in some ways I like it. But then I'm worrying about, you know, the folks who have money on the fights and have a rooting vested interest.
Yeah, you're right. It wouldn't, something like that wouldn't happen. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just talking off the top of the head. But, you know, my thing is that boxing has always been a corrupt sport. We know the mafia controlled boxing, back in the days. And then, you know, then we had a lot of corruptions between promoters and stuff like that. People being paid off, you know, people cheating as far as like PEDs concerned, or if not taking pads out of the gloves or having plaster or Paris. Cheating is the biggest thing in boxing. I mean, it's been the worst thing in boxing because boxing has been living with that ugly demon for as long as it's been around. So, a lot of the judging, you know, sometimes happens when they're paid to be there to make sure that they are going to pick for the hometown fighter, the favorite fighter, or the fighter, the name fighter, you know. That's pretty much how it is. I mean, if you look at a fight and you could see who's clearly winning, but you're judging it according to the hometown fighter. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, Jerry, one example before I stop talking here, Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney. I mean, we clearly saw Larry Holmes beating the crap out of Jerry Cooney, but who was winning that fight?
You're right, Cisco. They're
Jerry Cooney.
Behind on
okay?
Points.
You understand?
Going into the later rounds, you're right.
Right. So, you know, that's what we're talking about. It's corruption. It's not really bad judging. It's corruption, man. It's these guys being paid off to make sure that the hometown fighter, the name fighter, the money fighter wins the fight unless he gets knocked out, you know? And it's terrible. It's corruption. It has nothing to do with bad judging. I mean, yeah, there could be some bad judging here or there, but there's too much of it going on to say that it's bad judging. It's pretty much corruption. It's pretty much money in the... under the table. you know?
And this isn't anything new. I mean, this goes back way before the Blakey Palermo and Frankie Garbo days. But even on up to now, the fight with Pacquiao and the one that
Timothy Bradley.
Timothy Bradley. Yeah. I mean, anybody with two eyes could see that this not only was a robbery, but a lopsided one at that. Not only the most of the viewing public that could see Cisco and Doc know that Pacquiao won that rumble, but he won it relatively easily in going away. Yet we had judges who, some of them were well-established, big-name judges, who had it going the other way and had the nerve to try to explain it away, and I still, to this day, am saying, what were they watching? What fight were they watching?
Too much of that going on in the sport of boxing, and that's, and you know, it happens in MMA too, believe it or not. I've seen some bad judging in MMA. We don't see it as much as boxing, but there's been some bad judging in MMA too. I think that, you know, as the bigger MMA gets, it's going to start seeing some of the problems that boxing has. Maybe not as corrupt, but you'll start seeing some of the same problems that boxing has. So as long as you got three judges, you just never know.
So what you're telling me here then, that as Doc Stanley Sports Depth Block Talk, Radio Trusting God, really Happy New Year to everybody, and we're shouting out quickly birthday greetings, the first, the wife of the incomparable Mary B. Boykin, Mrs. B., Mark Raspberry, the sports editor of the New York Week in January 2nd, my beloved daughter, Turquoise Sue Appa, her birthday the 4th, Marla Barfield, wife of the great 1986 home run champion, Jesse Barfield. This month holds the birthday of, ironically, the only two guys ever beat him. Joe Frazier has a birthday this month, and so do George Foreman, who beat him twice, and Muhammad Ali. Ali shares his birthday with the ever-popular, now one of the top trainers in boxing, Buddy McGirt, who, the day before Ali and Buddy McGirt, it's the birthday of Roy Jones Jr. Before that, everybody knows it's Dr. King's birthday, but did you know it's Bernard Hopkins' birthday? And we slide down to end the month, my beloved mother Vivian, the 21st, my grandson, the 25th, and the man, the first African-American to ever win the MVP award and the batting championship and play Major League Baseball, Jack Mills, Robs, who also happened to be of the boxing commissioner one time. Now, yo, Cisco, what are you saying? Are you saying as MMA will become more popular, we have the same problem? So are we saying here, gentlemen, that the problem is caused by the infusion of money?
No. I say some of the problems, not all of the problems. As long as the UFC is the commodity, there won't be money under the table and things like that, and people throwing fights and fights being fixed or whatever. That kind of stuff is kind of hard. I don't see it happening in MMA. But bad judging, see, they've had bad judging, not corrupt judging. Like boxing.
Wow.
Boxing has had corrupt judging plus bad judging, which makes it worse. You understand? Because now you're doubling the fact that there is a lot of bad and corrupt judging going on. So you see a lot of fights that happens in. And it becomes something that, you know, that the public turns off the public. I mean, how many people you hear that says, I don't watch boxing anymore because it's fixed, or because, you know, their judging is terrible, or this or that. And you know, MMA is pretty much capitalizing on it because they're on Fox TV right now, you know. Not only are they Fox TV pretty much every week, but they're putting on fights every month. I mean, boxing can't even put on, you know, the sport of boxing can't even put on a pay-per-view fight, you know, six times a year, let alone UFC does it 12 times a year and continues doing it. So, you know, I think what's going on with boxing is too many chiefs and Indians. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and it's hard to put it back together again. As long as boxing is not so scattered, the sport is going to continue going through this meltdown until, you know, I don't know. I mean, the solution is is there, but is anybody going to really take that route when there's so much money involved and so many people trying to capitalize on that? Is really the problem, you know? I mean, you have Top Rank on one side, you have Golden Boy on another side, you have DiBella, you have, you know, Goose and Tudor, you have so many,
main events,
you know, who has NBC right now. I mean, you know, you have so many of these, and then champions. You know, you have so many champions in these weight classes. You have so many weight classes. I mean, nobody knows who the champions are nowadays. So that's the problem. The sport has been watered down, you know, big time. So, you know, and we talked about Emmanuel Stewart, you know, right? Emmanuel Stewart being one of the last great trainers in boxing. You understand? Why is that? You know, that shouldn't be happening in a sport. So if you don't have too many great trainers, how many great fighters are you going to have? And if you don't have great fighters, how many great fights are you going to have? You know what I mean? Mm. It's just, you know, that's really the problem. It's like a domino effect, you know? And, you know, you got these guys that brag by beating nobody, you know? You got these guys that really, you know, sometimes they put on good fights. They do put on good fights because that's all they know how to do. They don't know defense. They don't know how to box. They just know how to go there and just throw punches. And
you know, speaking of boxing, Cisco and Doc, I wanted to ask you guys, have you heard the latest rumor that we – every time I think of this, I'm like, you've got to be kidding. But have you heard it? And they're going to do great business if it comes off. Have you heard the latest rumor of possible Pacquiao Marquez? What is this, number 5 in September?
Yeah, I heard in September. I heard there's a possibility. And you know what, man? Honestly, from that knockout, I wouldn't put Pacquiao in there immediately against Marquez again. That, you know, that's just money. It just showed you how these guys are just, you know, they just want to make another payday before Pacquiao goes out or Marquez goes out. Marquez, of course, is going to accept it. He brutally knocked him out. And when you see a guy come back from a knockout, the same. Especially, remember, Roy Jones never came back the same.
No,
you know,
never
so,
been the same.
It's never been the same.
Cisco, Doc and I have a bit of a disagreement on this. Doc, I'm not going to put words on your mouth since obviously you're here to, you know, defend yourself. Not that you need any defense. But I know you say it's tough to ask a guy to stop doing something of which he's been good at and something of which he's been, you know, doing all this time and something that is, you know, this is what he does. My thing, though, Cisco, is my problem with Doc and his philosophy and others like him is that I would rather have a guy stop the rubble, like, too soon than too late. You know, I'm not really a proponent on guys going out on their shields, okay? I mean, sure, this is what you do. You're a fighter. I know fighters are modern-day gladiators, the whole nine. But I don't like seeing guys come back, like you said, Cisco, from, like, just brutal knockouts like that. I know that he is ahead as far as the number of fights, you know, and their little, I guess I can't call it a trilogy anymore since they fought 4 times. But my thing is I just don't like seeing guys coming back, you know, after that. I don't want to see guys walking around saying, who am I, where am I, you know, what have I done?
Well, you know? His two schools of thought here. His two, and it's what, you know, Dr. Stanley Sports and Depth Blog Talk Ready on the Trust in God Radio Network. Let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back, and we'll come back with something that Dusty says and something that Cisco just alluded to about 47 seconds ago. Great tennis. Dr. Stanley Sports and Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. Gentlemen, hold on a second.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, please, for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Think you out the bed, and you...
Right back here, watching that on Live Talk Radio. Don't anybody move. Finally, we may have Harold Weston finally join us. Is that you, Harold?
Nah, it's me, Doc.
Oh, okay. We lost the camera.
I was switching phones.
You said something, and what Dusty always talks about, you know, the allowance, I mean, of Pacquiao and Marquez, number 2006, as it seems. But, you know, the commission is going to say, hey, look, you know, he spent enough time to heal. And then there's that thing that you talked about in losing my good friend and our friend, Emmanuel Stewart. And if you remember, it's Ali Frazier 3. It's Eddie Futch who turns to Joe and says, hey, Joe, nobody will ever forget what you did here. But sit down, the fight's over. Wouldn't let his man go back out there. Angelo Dundee, Ali Holmes, fight's over. You don't have not only the people who are great trainers, but people with a great concern and relationship with the fight. I mean, here's something here, Cisco and Rooney. How is somebody not saying to Pacquiao? And maybe the first guy should be Freddie Roach because Bob Arum doesn't care, but hey, Pac-Man, no, man, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. So, again, we're talking about the fiber and credibility, Cisco, of the people around him.
Yeah, they, it's all about money, you know. It's all about, you know, making another big mega payday, and nobody's going to say anything as long as Pacquiao agrees to fight. These guys are there for the ride. I mean, you know, I mean, the old story in boxing is that a fighter fights too long past his abilities, and he ends up taking punishment he unnecessarily needs to take, and he ends up getting, you know, what's called punch drunk dementia.
Yeah, punch drunk.
You know,
or in the medical term, dementia pugilistica.
Right, exactly. You know, so you know, it's too much of that going on in the sport of boxing. And, you know, who's going to stop that? I mean, as long as, like I said again, as long as there's big mega paydays for Pacquiao, he can keep going until he's walking around like a human vibrator. You know, he will, you know, he you know, from taking punishment.
You know, let me say this, Cisco, just quickly, because I really do have to speak to this, because my heart goes out to those guys, even though I know that they get to choose, you know, what they want to do for a living. I mean, hey, it could be window washers, washing something on a 60th floor and your belt loosens and you fall. I mean, everything has occupational hazards. But I do have to say this, okay? I mean, Cisco, you're obviously an expert in, you know, fighting in the martial arts. Doc, I know that we, you know, we've both been members of the Boxing Writers Association of America, so we all pretty much know what we're talking about. But, Cisco, let me just say this, and Doc, for most of the fans who just kind of watch fights on TV or go to an occasional live rumble. Now, fighting is brutal. I mean, it is an absolutely brutal sport. Brutal, okay? I mean, these guys, man, literally give their blood, sweat, and tears to the sport, okay? Now, I'm not saying that we should be shedding tears for these guys. They're big boys, and they know, you know, what's involved in their profession. But by the same token, and Cisco, I'm not going to mention any names on this, okay? But there was a time when I would literally every now and then bump into a former world champion, okay? I'm not going to give the weight class, okay? I'm not going to give the weight class and go through all that. But literally a former world champion whose name is pretty recognizable. And I have to tell you that, you know, when he was riding high in the world champion, he had the, you know, the nice car, you know, the cash, the beautiful girlfriend, you know, the whole nine, everything that was the trappings of going along, you know, what a champion you would expect from a champion, all the championship trappings. Well, here, you know, 20 years later, and Doc, I don't have to tell you, obviously, or Cisco, man, when those guys get to be 40, 50, 60, they are not the same. They're just not
true.
The same.
True. Just like in football.
Well, listen,
it happens
the
in football,
case.
Too.
At the fight of the garden.
And Doc, I will say, Angelo Dundee did call the fight off, but he only called the fight off because Herbert Muhammad wanted that fight stopped.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hold on. You know, Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Preston Garvey, and those of you, we broadcasting live from Fortaleza, the capital of the state of Ceará, in Brazil. But I have said this in America, here in my beloved Brazil, you just don't get it any more in-depth, more precise, more historical than you do here. You know, it's not about me, but it's about the Cisco and the Rooney and the Dustin Howe, who bring you these in-depth perspectives. I mean, because, you know, here's the thing, too, that you brought up, Rooney, and also that Cisco brought up, you know, it's been, I remember how it goes up. Because Boudini is screaming to keep it going, you know, and how it goes up, he cared about his fighter. He stopped the fight, right? And all of a sudden, we're talking about this great act, and Andrew's a great guy. I mean, the stage of this Camacho, Professor Costamasso Jr. just asked me about him, what a great guy. But, you know, so-called Herbert had this heartless approach, strictly money. But now you're saying, and you're validating not only his compassion, but the realistic and the side of him that you hardly ever hear. Tremendous point, Cisco. That you, and you're always on top of things. You know, this tremendous point, because it's like, you know, it was Angelo who was the only one that cared, somewhat like the white guy that only gave a damn. You know what I mean? It's that great line, you know, when a white guy does something for a black guy, he's a humanitarian. When we do it for each other, we're racist. You know?
Right. Well, mm-hmm. You know, he did, like I said, he did stop the fight, but I, honestly, not saying that Angelo Dundee didn't care about Ali, but he says it himself many, many times. He was not going to tell Ali when to stop. He was just going to be there for him. And that was pretty much it. And that fight particularly was stopped because Herbert Muhammad had enough. I mean, he saw that Ali wasn't fighting back. He saw he wasn't doing anything. He just pretty much made sure that word got to the corner that fight had to be stopped. And that's why Angelo pretty much...
You also validate here, Cisco, the greatness, the uniqueness, and the humbleness of the late Angelo Dundee. Because I remember he always said that Ali always looked out for him. And Angelo always understood his place. He would never overstep or supersede Ali. And I probably have the apologies for that. But I remember there was a scene where Ali and Angelo were in the dressing room. And Angelo comes in and says, "There's a lot of people in here." He said, "There are too many people in here." He says, "I don't like it." And Ali says, "Well, I said they could come in here, and I'm the boss." And I never forget Angelo said, he said, "You're right. You are the boss." You know, showing the relationship. Angelo talked about being at a fair one night, and some of the nation of Islam had security there. And he said, Angelo said, it was causing a very uneasy environment. And he simply turned to Ali and said, "Hey, Chance, you know what? I really don't think, you know, we need this security tonight." And Ali said, "Yeah, it's okay." And Ali asked the guards to leave. You know, they just had a very unique relationship, a lot like father and son. Just a tremendous point. General, real quickly, RG3, Washington Redskins, they lose today. Ray Lewis will have another day as he goes mile high with the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to face Peyton Manning, seen by a lot of people as the guy who will be both the comeback player of the year and MVP. Yesterday, the Green Bay Packers got it right. They beat the Minnesota Vikings, who were a little shorthanded, but they were shorthanded in the playoffs. So the Packers will be moving on also. And as you know, the Giants out. You know, they said something yesterday, Rooney. I read to me some press notes, and I didn't understand it. They had that great training center out there in New Jersey at the Timex Center. I could understand for years why the heck were they going all the way up to Utica anyway. You know, it didn't make any sense. So
no,
So next year they're going to
get a lot of things that ball club does doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well,
I don't know what's going on with that squad, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, the whole season probably can come down to that 17-16 loss against the Redskins and the infliction of the penalties. As you look back, was everything penalty-wise was done by both the offense and the special teams. I mean, the defense did a heck of a job. You know, you held RG bringing them to 17 points. You didn't commit any penalties, but like I said, I think that was the turning point game, as it was sandwiched in between the big win against the Green Bay Packers And then they had that big win against the New Orleans Saints. But that was a game in which everybody said, well, you know what? They may have won, but they really didn't look that good in winning. And they were nowhere near as impressive in being the Saints as they were when they beat the Green Bay Packers. Doc Stanley, Sports Nep on Blog Talk Radio, live from Fortaleza, Brazil. Tomorrow, the announcement will be out. Who's going to be the footballer of the year the last 2 years? It's been the Argentine, Lionel Messi, who's been picked as the top footballer of the year. But there's Cristiano Ronaldo. A lot of people think he has a shot. Then Chicote Macho thinks that the guy right behind Messi is not Ronaldo, as it is Neymar, the youngest superstar in the world of football. You also got to take time out, even though he's not in the running anymore, but David Beckham wants to salute him. And Cole Benfield must be saluted, the first Latin American team to win the FIFA Club Cup Championship in the last half decade. Second time Corinthians has won it, but this is the first time a Latin American team has won the FIFA Club Championship. Back in the day, Pelé, can't talk about football in any place, not mentioning the great Pelé. They had won it twice, Corinthians winning their second championship and becoming the first Latin American team to win the FIFA Club Championship. So we want, once again, salute them who became the champions. And it was really amazing. I've got to get back to the States. They had some kidney stone problems. And the doctor who I saw talked about when the game was played in Japan, I think out of 65,000 people in the crowd, maybe 60% of them were Brazilian. He took both his sons with him, and he even had the son singing the anthem in Japanese. Dr. Stanley Sports Nep on Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Radio Network. Once again, the Redskins are out. The hope is that maybe now RG3 will get a chance to rest and heal. Seattle Seahawks won a big game, breaking a losing streak on the road, beating the Washington Redskins. Ray Lewis, one of the great defensive players of all time, one of only four guys to ever win defensive player twice.
Can I make a quick statement, Doc? I hate to interrupt you, but I want to make this statement while I have you and Cisco here in regard to Ray Lewis, and you know, as you said, being one of the great defensive players, linebackers of all times, which he absolutely is, okay? But let me say this, my own personal opinion, because they both basically were asked to do different things. And even though they both played linebacker, one was inside, one was out, so it was kind of a different position, even though it was, in a way, a similar position, but one was inside, one was out. Okay, as great as Ray Lewis was and is, and obviously a future first ballot Hall of Famer, he, and listen, read my lips, no way changed the game the way Lawrence Taylor did in his prime, okay? I just want to go on record of saying that right now. As great as Ray, as great as Lewis is, was a future first ballot Hall of Famer, all of that, no question, no way. And no way did he change this game the way LT did, period.
Gentlemen, we're doing something different here, but we're going to do a little mic on, lights off real quickly, maybe a good 15 minutes. Give me a second here. We're going to close out this segment, and Rooney, you will bring us back with another good 10, 15 minutes. Doc Stanley Sports and Depth on the Trust in God with a network, Blog Talk Radio. We'll close real quickly, and we'll be right back for the 15, 20 minutes. Wrap this up as we talk about the great Lawrence Taylor. 10 straight years, a pro bowler. Unmatched, unparalleled, Dr. Stewart. Hold on, Larry. Come on, say something, will you?
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio. The heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, please, for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me.
And you know what? You don't have to beg. Rooney, close us out and bring us right back. In fact, just bring us right on with Mike on Life.
Doc. Our Sports In Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We have been here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network, and the straw that stirs the drink has been here. And that indeed is the great Doc Stanley. We're on the way to lights off, mics off.
And with that, here we are. In this corner, this is Cisco Kid. Right next to him is Mel Sosa Jr. And I am your host here, Doc Stanley, on Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Another good 15 minutes here, so we're going to talk what we've been talking. You know, LT is an amazing thing about LT. And Lewis joins him, along with Michael Singletary, and the other name will escape me right now, a minute group of players who have won Defensive Player of the Year twice. You know what's amazing, too? We're going to talk about it real quickly, though. Adrian Pearson came up 9 yards short last week of surpassing the great Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record. But, you know, people will also talk about that Eric Dickerson has the rookie single-season rushing record, which was kind of a prelude or a little insight, you know what I mean, to the kind of great running back he was, number 29, out of L.A., got traded to the Colts. And like Barry Bonds, as we look back in retrospect, was blackballed. You know, it's just amazing how, you know, when you're in the land of freedom and opportunity, and the land of freedom and speech, you know, freedom ain't that free to everybody. And Dickerson was simply blackballed. And Dickerson was allowed to run the string of his career out, it would be he with the all-time rushing record, and not the great Emmitt Smith, who was a great running back. But I think, you know, if you look at what Emmitt had surrounding him, he was the beneficiary of an outstanding quarterback. I don't think Aikman is nowhere near in the status of elite. You know, when you talk about Joe Namath and Mantan and Moon and stuff, but he definitely was outstanding. And a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, Michael Irvin, one of the great ends of all time. When people talk about great ends, you know, they're always talking about Jerry Rice, as should be so, Lynn Swann, Randy Moss, but they don't give Irvin his due. You know, he was just a big, strong guy who catched the football, very rarely dropped it at prime time, and was a big reason why the Dallas Cowboys were the best football team in pro football, and Jerry, so he's in the Hall of Fame. LT, never forget O.J. Anderson when he came to the Giants in his initial years, and he said the impact of Lawrence Taylor was so much that the first thing that was discussed when the Giants came to town, it wasn't their defensive schemes, it wasn't the offensive set. The first thing discussed was who's going to block LT, which validates what you said, Rooney. I don't think any defensive player ever has, ever will have the impact on the game of football that LT had, the legendary number 56. And if you look across the league, there are a horde of players wearing 56 in homage and recognition of the great LT. And, you know, like so many guys were number 12. But, I mean, it's the argument. You know, Lawrence Taylor.
Offensive coordinators, Doc Courtney, would stay up at night trying to figure out how to keep LT out of the backfield. I mean, offensive coordinators would have nightmares thinking about this guy questioning their quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, and which meant, you know, when they were double and triple teaming LT, everybody else was the beneficiary of that. And if you look back, you know, those were some great, great, great defensive football teams. And like I said, I remember they had a photo which I think summed up who were the greatest two players on both sides of the ball. There was a picture of Jim Brown being tackled by Lawrence Taylor. And I think I have that picture around someplace. I think, you know, that kind of sums it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's Koufax winding up, pitching to Willie Mays. Great pick. You know, Cisco, we're looking at I think it's sad and touching, as Howard Weston would say, but there's no question that the public ruled by Marquez, Pacquiao, five.
Yeah, they'll buy it. They've been doing polls online about, you know, should there be a rematch or not, and the polls have been overwhelming for a rematch, another match between these guys. You know, for the money to happen.
They're going to do record business, Cisco. Trump, take my word. They're going to do record business.
Yeah,
I'm
They're going to do record business because they're going to advertise it. They're going to hype it up. They're going to do what they always done. One thing I spoke about with Emmanuel Stewart was that, you know, back in the days, back in, let's say, 20 years ago, or maybe let's go by 10 years ago. Let's not even go that far. When there were super fights, right, usually it lived up to the hype. You know, now when you get a super fight, what do you get? You get hype. That's pretty much what you get. That's what people are buying into today, is hype. And Manny Pacquiao and Marquez 5 will be hyped for us to buy into it. Will it do numbers, record numbers? Maybe, because they want to see if Pacquiao comes back. Maybe. But, you know, for a guy to be knocked out the way he was, fighting
brutal.
The same guy coming
absolutely
back
brutal.
is the dumbest stuff these guys could ever have done.
I mean,
even people were like, why is he fighting a guy a fourth time when that's the same guy that gave him problems? Why didn't he go after Timothy Bradley, you know, to square that off? You know, why is he going to put himself in a position to lose against a guy who I thought won the last two fights? So, you know, they pretty much were thinking, oh, we're going to beat this guy. They never thought that Marquez would be able to do to them what was done. You know, thought in their wildest dream, oh, we're going to get knocked out by it. No, they always when look, steroid, the steroid situation was brought up in the third fight. But what did they say? Oh, if what was it? Alex Ariza said that not even God is going to help Marquez win this fight, you know, because they disregarded him. You understand what I'm saying? So this fourth time, when the whole steroid question was brought up, they disregarded that again. They were like, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, and look what happened. Then after Pacquiao got knocked out, then people started saying, maybe they were right, you know, but. You know, how can you point the finger when, you know, they've been pointing the finger at you guys for a long time and you guys never agreed on taking a drug test?
Yeah, and you know something, Cisco? Not only that, but, and Doc, I absolutely agree with what Cisco's saying, but it's not going to happen that way because of the way that Pacquiao lost and was knocked out and because of the potential money and earnings that they can make on another fight. But I always said this after Ali Frazier 3, that should have been it for them both. They should have took the money, locked arms, sang kumbaya, and both went merrily into the sunset. And that's what should have happened with Marquez and Pacquiao after this fight. It won't happen because of the vicious way that he was knocked out and because of the potential money to be made
right. And
yet another fight.
Did you guys see the 30 for 30 episode with Ben Johnson? And did you see it? Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis? Did you see it?
What about the one with the performance enhancers?
Yeah.
Talk about performance enhancing. Oh, yeah.
Everybody was on it. You know, that was a very interesting. And it's funny now that Lance Armstrong is talking about coming clean. After he's denied
Cisco. Yeah, all of us, you, I, and Doc, probably not to put words in your mouth, know that this guy has been, let's just say, in hands for some years now. I mean, the only folks who were shocked by the accusations that that he was winning this Tour de France each and every year by natural means, for people who refused to open their eyes. I mean, I'm sure that you, and I'm sure that the good doctor is known for, or at least put it this way, has was not shocked by the accusation that there were enhancing items that used during his championship reign, which
Teddy,
he would be each and every year.
Teddy Atlas brought up a good point the other day. I know it can be a bad thing to have, you know, these guys on some kind of enhancement. I mean, if you saw the episode with the Ben Johnson story, he wasn't the only one on it. That's pretty much why he got on it, because, you know, if he wasn't on it, you just wasn't winning anything.
Well back up. You know what? You're saying two things here, Cisco. He wasn't the only one on it. He was the only one caught. And you go back to the great line that Bert Flowers, whose birthday will be next month now with Dr. J's, you know, if everybody's using it, then who's cheating? You know, in Johnson's case, he was the guy caught and made an example. You know, I got to ask you, Cisco, I want to get this. Is there a steroid buzz or happening in the world of MMA?
Oh, yeah. It's just, oh, yeah. I mean, those guys are not using.
Did Shamrock come up with something not that long ago? Ken Frank, one of them?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything on Ken Shamrock. Actually, bringing that name up is like bringing, you know, somebody out of the grave. Because really, I haven't heard that name in a long time. But,
yeah.
You know, some of these guys fail drug tests, but not often. And these guys are definitely juicing. The point is that Dana White and the Fatito brothers, who are on top of the heap as far as the MMA is concerned, have no real want to clean up the sport. They really don't. I mean, yeah, you know, I say this much. The guys that get caught are the guys that don't have much money. In order for you to beat the system, you gotta have to hire the best guys. You know, and that's how it happens in the Olympics. These guys hire the best doctors, the best guys to get these guys ready. You understand what I'm saying? If you look at that episode, that he had, Ben Johnson had the best guys getting him ready for competition. They were like, wow, this guy is huge, he's big. And, you know, but they couldn't point the finger because he wasn't failing any drug tests. You understand what I'm saying? Until that final test.
This is nothing new, Cisco. I mean, this goes all the way back to like the
60s. But look, I got to say this. You know, you cheat in the Olympics, cool. You cheat at basketball or you cheat at football, whatever, cool. But boxing is a whole different, or MMA, let's say, it's a whole different animal. When you got a guy in front of you that you're better than, but you cannot beat because this guy is on some substance and he's pounding your head in. You understand what I'm saying? He's hitting you with blows to your head a lot harder than he could physically have done it naturally. It changes the whole aspect of the game. There's a reason why Floyd Mayweather didn't want to fight Pacquiao, because if Pacquiao didn't agree to a drug test, there weren't going to be no fight. If Pacquiao would have fought Floyd Mayweather on that stuff, believe me when I tell you, as good as Floyd Mayweather is, Pacquiao would have beat his living brains in, and Floyd knew it. That's why he said, you know what, if we don't take the test, there is no fight. You understand? And that's why that fight didn't happen. I mean, yeah, you know, I point fingers at both guys, but Pacquiao was the original guy that said he would not take that blood. He would not take a blood test. He would not take Olympic style drug testing. And that, to me, even though he's never failed a drug test, to me that's just as much as failing a drug test. Because if you're clean, you take it. Look at Nonito Donaire. Nonito Donaire is what? He's taking a drug test 365 days out of the year. He's taking it every day to prove that he's a clean fighter. You understand what I'm saying?
You know, I like his stance on that.
Come on.
I like his stance on that. Because not only is he showing every day that, hey, look at me, take the test, I got nothing to fear. Not only that, not only showing that, hey, I don't need any enhancers, but you add that to the fact that the dude can fight.
Right.
You know?
And look what Marquez
did. I like his stance on that very much.
Marquez did a Ben Johnson. He said, okay, if I can't beat them, then I'm going to join them. And he was victorious. That's pretty much what you saw that night. You saw a guy, really, because he was losing the fight, a lot worse than he did the first three fights.
Yeah.
But physically, he had the physical strength to knock Pacquiao to another land. And that's pretty much what they beat Pacquiao on physical brute strength.
Period.
And not only that, Cisco, what was he? Officially 3, 4, 5 pounds lighter than Marquez, and he looked so much, I mean, lighter than Pacquiao.
Because you know why he was,
so
you know why
bigger.
He was lighter? I'm going to tell you why he was
and
lighter.
And he looked so much
because
bigger,
I'm going to tell you why he was lighter than Pacquiao. He was lighter than Pacquiao,
bigger.
Even though he looked bigger.
Way bigger.
Because you know, you take a guy, and he looks, the less body fat you have, okay, the more the appearance of you looking more and more muscular, especially
huge.
You know,
huge.
Especially when you, I mean, you look at those bodybuilders, they look huge, and they're only weighing 245, 250. They look like they're weighing 300 pounds.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
Because if you look at Marquez, he was more ripped than Pacquiao. Pacquiao was carrying a little bit more body fat than he was, and I think that's why he was a little bit more, he was heavier than Marquez, because Marquez was solid, solid muscle, dude. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, it's evident. Marquez has never looked like that in his whole career.
Never.
In his whole career. So, and the guy is 39 years old.
And you don't
but
start
you know what? We
like
cannot just only point
older.
The finger at Marquez. We got to point the finger at Pacquiao, who's dodged the drug test for many years. And you know what, man? The reason why they couldn't point fingers at Marquez is because they've been dodging the drug test themselves, and not going to put the, they're not going to bite their own foot. You know, they're not going to put themselves in that position. And that's pretty
and the
much
thing
it.
About Marquez, though, the Cisco and Doc, is why would you be associated with the whole Balco thing if he wasn't doing something? I mean, why would you even have that association and all the bad publicity that goes with it if he wasn't helping you in some way? Why would you even bother to get the
you know why?
All
you know
the
why?
Stuff?
You know why? Because they knew if it would have been Floyd Mayweather that he was fighting and he had this Balco dude in this situation, he would have gotten to get rid of that guy because Floyd would never have fought him. You understand? But it's different. It's different when you're fighting Pacquiao, who's eluded drug testing for 3 or 4 years. So what do? You hire a guy. It doesn't matter if he's controversial or not, because you know what? The opposition in front of you is not going to go that route. So he didn't care because he knew. He knew that Pacquiao was not going to turn around and say, okay, let's both get drug tested. Hell no. Hell no. Drug testing for Pacquiao, that's like, man, I've never seen a guy run so fast from trying to prove that he's clean. You understand what I'm saying? You know? But it was never going to happen because, you know, and that's why he hired the guy. Nobody made a stink out of it when he lost the third fight, right? Nobody talked about this Heredia guy, but he was there in the third fight, right? But now everybody wants to talk about him. Why? Because he knocks out Pacquiao. It's pretty much it.
And you know what the funny part about it was, Cisco, you really appreciate this, and you do, Doc. He tried to change his name, thinking that nobody would pick up that this is the same Balco guy.
Yeah, but you know who picked it up, though? You know who picked it up? Balco guy number two. Balco guy number two, Victor Conte. Victor Conte put it on his Twitter, and was the one that said, this guy's name is not Angel Heredia. His name is Angel Hernandez. I mean, his name
right,
is not
right.
Angel Hernandez. His name is Angel Heredia.
Indeed.
And actually, I don't know if Doc, if you ever looked at that email that I sent you on that German documentary where Angel Heredia is injecting EPO in his stomach. Okay? So, and I found this video about 2 weeks before the actual fight. So, you know, and it's all in German, so it's not an easy video to find, but it's a video of him injecting EPO in his stomach and actually showing these guys
the same guy. Yeah. The fact of the matter, Cisco, like you said, it's the same guy, and just because of the slight name change, and you know that Victor Conte, of all people, who's one of the fathers of all this stuff, so to speak, you know he knows who all these guys are anyway.
Well,
he's
just like that guy in the movie Catch Me If You Can with DiCaprio, right? They spent so long trying to catch this guy, you know, and once they finally catch him, what do? They hired him to be the number one guy to catch bank fraud because he was the best bank frauder there was. So, you know, the same thing with Victor Conte. You know what I mean? You hire the best, the best drug guy in the game. You know what I mean? To bust these guys. And that's why Lamont Peterson and Andre Berto got busted. You know, if you see their name is not even being talked about or circulated anymore because they're that good. Anybody that good will be ousted. You cannot be good at catching these athletes. You know what I mean? You cannot be that good. If you're that good, these guys won't. They don't really want to clean the sport. It's just pretty much it's not something that they really want to do. Yeah, if they catch a guy here and there, cool. But if you're catching most of the athletes, which proves to me that just like Victor Conte say, 80% of the athletes that are out there, maybe even more, are all drugging. You know, comes to show you. The first two fighters they drug test get busted. Imagine how much more fighters would have been busted by now. You know?
Well, you know, Cisco, a long time ago, one of the great sports talk guys, in our profession, the late great author George Rush Jr., once called holy hell from the powers that be for saying that, hey, most of the first, this is what was that? I think the 80s or so, 80s, 90s, when he basically flat out said that, hey, I'd say at least 50% of your Major League Baseball players are using some type of performance enhancer. And he caught holy hell, Cisco, for making a statement, man.
Look, you saw what happened between me and Destino, Dusty. Dusty was pissed off when I said that both of them were drugging. He was livid. People who are really fans, they don't want to hear that stuff. They want to look. They want to turn the other cheek and say, no, the sport is clean. No, man, things have changed, man. Sports is not the same anymore. Football is not the same anymore. These guys are 300-plus and ripped and solid muscle, and they ripping through each other like animals. You understand what I'm saying?
Let me tell you, there's a conversation I once had with the great wrestling manager, and he was great, Captain Lou Albano. I remember talking to the captain.
I remember him.
And I said, Lou, tell me, man, who? Because I have my own ideas. I said, Lou, who's the strongest person in wrestling that you ever came across? You know, because having a wrestling background, you know, I had my own ideas, and, you know, there have been some truly, truly, incredibly, incredibly strong guys in this. And I remember him saying, when I said, Captain, who's the toughest guy you ever ran across? Either you managed or managed against, who's the toughest, strongest guy? And I remember Cisco, I'm saying, on the juice or off. Yeah. And I was like, on the juice or off the juice? And I said, no, off. And, you know, I basically knew what he was going to say, but I just wanted to see. And, of course, he said Bruno Sammartino. Because, Cisco, I remember a pitcher that won all over the world. I think it was at Madison Square Garden, where he lifted a 601-pound, 6 foot, two or three or so, Haystacks Calhoun, who until then and since, no one had even come close to lifting this guy. Okay,
amazing.
So yeah, the late great Haystacks Calhoun from Morgan's Corner, Arkansas, all 6'2" or so, 6'3", all 601 pounds, and to this day, before then and since, no one had even come close to lifting this guy, the great Bruno Sammartino.
Bruno Sammartino. Real quickly here, we close up here. We're gonna have this fight. Who do you like in this fifth encounter there, Muscles?
In the what?
In his next Marquez Pacquiao fight.
I'm going with Marquez. It's just a no-brainer. It's no-brainer. You knock a guy out like that and leave him down for, what, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes or whatever was the case? There's no way that you can't repeat that. And Pacquiao, I don't care how much time they give him, he's not going to be – mentally, it's going to be tough for him because he's going to be now – a little bit more, he might be a little bit more afraid to jump in there with those punches because he knows that Marquez is going to. And if Marquez stays with the same guy and is physically as big as he is.
He's not going to change a thing. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah,
you were going to say that, Cisco. He's not going to change a thing. However, it's going to be a lot nastier in the pre-fight hype in this one because the Marquez corner is certainly going to put out all. I mean, you think we had all the steroid talk and whatnot before about performance and
I don't think
performance
so.
Enhancers or what have you? They're
so.
Really going to have that going on.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to start pointing because they haven't pointed the finger after.
Well, they're not going to say it publicly, but these people are going to put out the rumors all about, you know, the don't get me wrong, Pacquiao's not going to say it publicly like that. His trainer is not,
no,
not going to say it.
You know,
but they're
going to
have
guys
the word
like Lampley,
out that this guy is totally
like,
juiced.
Guys like Lampley and stuff like that, they're gonna talk. They're going to definitely talk. You know, they're going to definitely say, you know, oh, he should be drug tested, et cetera, et cetera. Which he said that he would do. Marquez did say he would take the drug test, that he's willing to take the Olympic style drug testing. But you know why they're willing to take it? Because they know they could beat it. So it doesn't matter. So bring the drug test. It's not going to change anything. It's not. These guys are good. They're good at what they do. And I'm going to tell you one thing. And I think you brought up, you know, 1960s and steroids, which is true. There's even a book. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called Unsettled Matters, The Life and Times of Bruce Lee. And this guy who was actually married to Linda Lee Emery, who was Bruce Lee's wife, wrote a book stating that Bruce Lee was on steroids. And this
Oh, really? Yeah. I never got a hold of that.
Author's name is Tom Bleeker. Tom Bleeker. You could actually Google this guy. I don't know how old the book is, but I ran into it, and I was like, let me read this book. And the guy,
what's the name of it again for us and our fans? What's the name of it again?
It's called Unsettled Matters.
Unsettled Matters by Tom Bleeker.
Yeah, it's written. But the author is Tom Bleeker, and he pretty much stated, which is something that I've heard over and over again in documentaries about Bruce Lee, was that before his death he lost a substantial amount of weight. You know,
really?
and that he was going on and on. Another thing that happened to Bruce Lee, which is fact, was that he collapsed 2 months before his death. He was hospitalized for the same thing he died of, which is a brain aneurysm, which is swelling.
Yeah,
of the brain.
They had tried to flush it off as some aspirin or Advergin or
yeah,
some type
said,
of
they,
medication.
They said it was
an
allergic reaction to a pill called Equisic. Equisic was a pill, you know, that was, you know, like it was like a headache pill, and that he was allergic to it. But, you know, how does a guy end up with the same situation twice? You understand what I'm saying? And the reason why he didn't think anything of what happened the first time was because he came here to America, and a doctor here told him he had a body of an 18-year-old. So he took that and was excited about that and never really... because back then they didn't have MRIs, like they said. They didn't have MRIs, so he didn't really know what was going on.
The rest is history. Gentlemen, we're gonna roll here. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Trusting God Radio, Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back later on the week, live from Fortaleza, Brazil. RG3 and the Redskins are gone, and Ray Lewis and the Ravens live on. Gentlemen, three thoughts. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others, service others, and then you pay for your space in earth? He's here. The legends that live, both of Mel Cosell Smith Jr. and the Cisco Kid. I'm Doc Stanley, your host. We're going to close up with the late, great Marvin Gaye saying something that in today's times really needs to be said. Marvin, the platform is yours.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children.
they gonna suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow? Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.